title this morning, Nothing New, But Something Good. The Enemy's Help, Part 8. The Enemy's Help, Part 8, November 25th, 2012. Can you believe in 1 month from today, we will be celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus. 1 month from today, 30 days, and we'll be celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords' birthday. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this morning I want to continue on our series about the enemy's help and how he does really help us. And we've been saying for the last 7 weeks, now this will be the eighth week, I'm going to repeat it, is that the arrival of an enemy in your life is a sign that your present season is coming to an end. There's something, your present season is coming to an end, and there's a finality, there's a completing that God wants to do, because whatever God starts, he always completes, amen? And in order to have any great progress in your life, an enemy is required. There has to be some resistance. In order to gain muscle, you go to the gym, you have to add more weight to the bar in order to gain and grow muscle. Amen? I'm learning this strategy because as I'm going through therapy for my shoulder, every time I go, I get a little bit stronger. I'm already at 70% of where, you know, out of 100%, I'm at 70% in only 2.5 weeks. Well, that's amazing. No, that's God. Amen. I'm going to be at 100% real soon. But there's things I have to do. There's now resistive training. And yeah, it hurts a little bit more. And there's a little bit more of the pulling and enduring devices where before it was just using of your own arm weight. But now he adds weight to it and it hurts. It adds more weight. There's more resistance. But what it's doing is building something up. It's building up the strength. And it's building up the muscle tissue. It's no different than the test that you have. When you go through those things and you have the enemy that's trying to get to you, the enemy gives you a purpose. Amen? There's a Goliath, a Pharaoh, and a Satan. And they all stand between you and what you're destined to become. We said that the devil isn't concerned about fighting something you're doing. He fights who you're becoming. You're becoming more like Jesus. Every day, every time you open up the Word, every time you come to church on Sunday, every time you get a little bit more Word, you get a little bit more powerful. You get to be more like Jesus. And guess what happens? The devil gets a little concerned. Amen? Amen? Real trouble doesn't come in your life to challenge you in what you're doing. It tests who you already are. We talked about tests when we were growing up. The teacher is always in the room. Your teacher, Jesus, is always with you when you're going through the test. He may be silent, because he doesn't want to give you the answer. He wants you to stay focused on what's before you. What God starts, when he starts something, he doesn't try to figure it out along the way with no plan or no resources or no relationships or success. In fact, God's the opposite. He already has a plan. He already knows the beginning to the end. And all you have to understand is if you follow his plan, you'll succeed. Amen? We said last week that Jesus is what they call in baseball a closer. Jesus goes in there and he throws those last three strikes and they win the game. Guess what? You've already won the game. All you have to do is understand that when you read the end of the book, you win. And you need to get God involved in every little decision that you make. I'm learning that he's interested even in the little stuff that I'm doing as well as the big stuff I got planned. Amen? He's interested in that. So get him involved in that. Because, you know, there is a target on your back. The devil, Jesus had the same enemy you have. He don't like you. He don't like you. So understand the same tricks and things he tried to do to Jesus, he's going to try to do to you. Amen? But the bottom line is you win. We said that you're really blessed when people are talking about you. When you have people's attention when they're talking smack about you. That's when you're really blessed. It's not when you get the new house and the new car. Those are just the outward appearance of that you're a giver and God's blessing you that. But really, the true blessing is when you're getting persecuted, when you're getting talked about because you associate yourself with Jesus. People don't mind you talking about God, but they have a problem with you talking about Jesus. As soon as you mention Jesus, all that changes a whole bunch of things. You can have a conversation with somebody about God, and they might have a different perception of who God really is. But when you mention Jesus, that sums it up, who you really believe in. And people get offended by that. People get angry with you. And you're going to get persecuted along the way when you stand up for Jesus. If you ever discover what people hate about you, you'll discover what's most valuable about you. We said that last week. If you ever discover what people hate about you, maybe it's your boldness. Maybe it's your ability to let things fly off your shoulder and not bother you, and then you still address them in love, and it just drives people crazy. Whatever you discover, you find is valuable about you. Your perspective on your persecution that you take will impact your process, your plans, and your potential. Let me say that again. The perspective on your persecution, when people are talking about, when people say, well, why do you get to go to college and none of the rest of your family did? Who put you in charge? Why are you the pastor? Why? So now you're a Christian and you don't go out and you don't go to the nightclubs anymore and you don't drink anymore, you don't smoke anymore. People are talking about you. That's the persecution that you get. You used to hang with the crowd that used to be going to hell, and then you said, hey, I got the answer now. I seen the light, and all of a sudden people are talking about you. Well, now you got saved, and you're sanctified, and you do this for Jesus. Oh, you're going to go help out at the food kitchen, or you're going to go out and be a blessing to somebody. I never did that before. No, because I was blinded. I was dumb. I was lost, but now I can see. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. You don't have to stand this morning. You stood for praise and worship this morning. But we're going to read 2 Corinthians 4:17. We've been talking about this for 7 weeks. It's the 8th week now. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen, the things that we see, our cars and our homes and our clothing, those are just temporary. But the things which are not seen, oh, hallelujah, are eternal." And I started thinking about that and dwelling upon that this week. There's so many things I haven't seen yet that are so eternal that are going to be coming to light. I haven't seen 100 people in the church yet. But it's coming. God's timing is not your timing. But He's always the right on time kind of guy. And if I could help you with this, sometimes it's worth the wait. Sometimes He's planning some things. Sometimes He's manifesting some things. Sometimes He's drawing some stuff out of you that needs to get out of you before you can handle what He's about to give you. And so you go through some light affliction. You go through some tests and you go through some trials. And even Jesus went through them. But it's for a far more exceeding eternal weight of His glory. Because the things that are not seen, oh, He'll bring them to light. Amen. The devil hates your potential. If you could ever get something this morning, get this. The devil hates your potential. He knows your potential more than you know your potential. That's why he's out to get you. That's why he has enemies and people come against you, is because the devil hates the potential that is inside of you. Because see, once God declares that movement is about to happen in your life, the enemy creates winds and waves to show up and rock your boat. As soon as God declares, "This is my son, well, I'm so well pleased." Didn't he say that about Jesus? And then all hell broke loose on Jesus. For 30 years, As a carpenter's son, he didn't have all those tests and trials. But as soon as he announced, see, as soon as you accepted Jesus and you were announced, devil did not like that. He brought the winds and the waves and the storms and the tests and the trials to try to rock your boat. But you got to remember something. You have the closer. You have Jesus in the boat with you. You can't be defeated. You won't drown. You won't sink because of who you're connected to. Remember, the devil hates your potential. Take a look at Luke 8:22. I'm going to help you this morning. This is the New King James Version. This is Luke 8:22. We've read this passage many and many times. But I want to show you something in here. Because there was an enemy that came in a sense of a storm. Now Luke 8:22 says this, "Now it happened on a certain day that he," being Jesus, "got into the boat with his disciples." See, he's always with his disciples. He's always with those he wants to associate with. He loves you. And it said, "And he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.'" Underline that in your Bible. I don't care. Highlight it, underline it, whatever you need to do. "And he said to them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the lake.'" Let me stop right there. Whenever he says something, he will complete it. Whatever he starts, he finishes. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And then they launched out. "But they sailed, and he fell asleep." Jesus was in the boat, and he fell asleep. "And then a windstorm came down on the lake," just like the devil. "And they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy." At least they thought they were. "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and they were calm. But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" Opposition is given for anyone who follows Jesus. You're going to have some opposition. You're going to have some people that are going to be opposed against you. Not because they hate you personally, but it's who you're connected to. You start mentioning Jesus, people start riling up. They get a little angry. "How dare you say Jesus?" Well, when there's no other name to say, I'm going to call on that name. When there's nothing else I can do in a situation and death had just take place, and someone, all I can do is call on that name of Jesus to comfort that person. Whenever Jesus says something, he always completes what he spoke. The day when Jesus calmed the storm on the Lake of Galilee, everything was pretty calm in the lives of the disciples until Jesus declared, "We're going to the other side." Sometimes when you're connected with Jesus, there opposition comes. When Jesus starts to declare something in your life, the devil does not like that. When God starts to declare, "Oh, you're going to be pastor of the church," it wasn't easy. I just didn't step out and say, "Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be great and glory days are coming my way." I knew, and my wife knew as well, "Are we sure we're ready?" I said, "I think we are. We got confirmation, and God had trained us along the way, and we'll make our mistakes along the way, but we got Jesus. We know what he said over 9 years ago." Yeah, I'll be honest with you. There's many times I just want to give it up, say, "Hey, I don't want to do this." I just go quietly into another church. I'll sit in the pew. I'll go ahead and give a little bit. I'll give it to every offering they have if they need, and I'll just be quiet. I'll even greet sometimes, and usher sometimes. God got experience in that. Hey, maybe my wife will sing in the choir and say a few words or maybe sing a solo. I'll sing a solo that no one can hear me, praise God. When you make your move, the enemy tries to stop things as quickly as possible. When we started the ministry, the devil tried to stop things up as fast as he could because he didn't want anything to birth from what God had just spoken. Remember the parable of seed? And he said that the seed was sown, and then immediately Satan came. Remember that in Mark 4:50? The seed, it was sown, and immediately Satan came. The enemy knows that seed sowing means a huge harvest. And good things, and the kingdom of God being in one growing season. Oh my God, imagine one growing season of not allowing the devil to touch anything. Look, think about how much harvest there would be. That's why the devil comes so quickly. That's why the enemy comes to attack your dreams and thoughts. That's why he comes when you get the word on Sunday. By Sunday afternoon at 12:01, he's trying to get that word away from you. When we talk about seed, we're talking in the biblical sense. It's the word of God. When you get the seed this morning, the devil is going to try to steal it from you. He's going to try to have ravens come and pick it out of the soil of your heart this morning. The reason why is the word of God always brings a picture of the future that is greater than what is around you today. Let me say that again. The word of God always brings a picture of the future that is greater than what is around you today. You may be in the midst of turmoil, but God will give you a word of peace. You may be broken, unemployed, but God will give you a word that says you're blessed. When you're sick, God will give you a word that says you're healed. When you feel like you have no friend, he'll give you a word to encourage you and let you know that you do have a friend in Jesus. When you're all the way down on your luck, God will pick you up with his word. Remember that anything in the seed form is in the easiest state to destroy. See, the devil is not a fool. He comes to try to get the seed because it's in its easiest form. It hasn't taken root yet. It hasn't birthed forth what's inside itself yet. Remember I said you've got great potential? He doesn't want that potential to start accelerating because once it takes off, he can't stop it. It's a whole lot easier to pull up an acorn out of the ground when it's just starting to sprout than to uproot a 40-year-old oak tree. I can go rip that acorn out of the ground with one hand, but to take down that 40-year tree, I might need a chainsaw and an axe, and I might need to be there for days, if not hours, and expend so much energy. And the devil don't want it. That's why he tries to steal the seed. You may be thinking and wondering, why in the world did I have so much conflict in my life? Because I keep on asking, why do I have to go through these battles? And it's not your present conditions that are the focus of the battle. The battle's over your position and identity in God's eyes. The purpose you've been called to fulfill. Most of the time, the enemy knows what you're going to be doing better than you know what you're doing. Because the devil understands the potential inside of you. How does he know? Because when you used to serve him, he understood how the potential that you had for destruction and death and evil and mean and being a person that wasn't very kind. He knows that. But then he knows once God gets a hold of you. Oh. And he understands the potential that's inside of you, that what used to be meant for harm is now going to be done for good on a bigger scale. He understands that potential. See, the battle's over your position and identity in God's eyes, the purpose you've been called to fulfill. The enemy does this all the time. He creates scenarios to cast doubts on God's word. Now let's get back to this boat in Luke 8:22. Jesus told them, we're going to go to the other side. He just got done preaching. He got done doing what he was supposed to be doing. And Jesus' point was that he had told them that we would make it to the other side. Now I asked God, I said, I know you told me that this church is going to grow and there's going to be new people and their lives are going to be changed and we're going to use the internet and we're going to use all the things that are capable and people are going to be drawn in here and we're different because we're a word church and people are afraid of word churches because word changes your life. People like the watered-down, sugar-coated, candy message and feel good when you leave, but then when the devil comes to attack you, you've got no medicine to be able to take care of your problem that's ailing you. I know that. That's why I'm very guarded who comes and preaches at our church. We get opportunities that people call, can we preach at your church? We're like, well, I don't know you. Are you a word person? Are you a sugar-coated, this make me feel good? I mean, it's nice to have a feel-good message. I feel good every Sunday when I leave. I don't know about you, but I feel good every Sunday. The word makes me feel good. I came in not feeling well this morning, but the more I'm preaching, the better I'm feeling right now. Amen. I preach myself happy. I preach myself healthy. Amen. See, here what happened was Jesus' point is when he told the disciples that we're going to the other side, they got frightened. Jesus didn't tell them how they would get there. The waves might rip the boat in half. And you may have to swim to the other side. But he said, you're still going to get to the other side. He didn't give you every detail on how your future would unfold. But he did tell you that you would get to the other side. What mattered was what his word says. See, what happened is the disciples had gotten into looking in their trouble and looking at the wind and the waves instead of remembering the promise. Sometimes we look at the waves and the storms and these enemies that are attacking us on the right and on our left. And we're getting caught up by the waves and the wind and the pearls of the sea and we're being rocked. But God still said, you're going to get to the other side. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. When I was on Lake Mead and that boat capsized, it was terrifying. It scared the daylights out of me. But God. God said, I'm too young to die. My children ain't going to drown. If I have to swim somehow together to get to the rocks, God would have created a way. When we began to call on his name, the storm of the Lake Mead began to diminish. When we began to call on his name, he sent somebody. See, most people get caught up in the middle of their predicament like the disciples did and they found themselves in. Well, God, you promised us the other side, but he didn't tell you how you're going to get there. He promised you a big ministry and lots of people, not because they're going to like you, but they're going to need you. Not many like Jesus, but the word he spoke changed and transformed their lives. But we can't lose faith when it doesn't come the way we expect it. We got to hold on to every detail of what God told us in his word. He said that you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. He says you're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. Everywhere you go, you're a blessing. That means people will be talking about you the whole time. Remember, this enemy is necessary to remind you that there's something worth fighting for. Don't let go of what you heard, no matter what your enemy has created for you to see. The devil and the enemy, he uses so many tactics against you so that you lose focus on what God has for you. Amen? Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We know this one. It's the New King James Version. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this: "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So we walk by faith, by what Jesus spoke to our lives, what the Holy Spirit has inspired in us. Our business will succeed. Somehow, someway, the business will succeed. He told you that. He already put that in your heart. He's already put that in the vision. Now, it may not come about the way you want it to come about, but God will make that happen because He already spoke that to you. See, God knew that there would be battles. And that's why He comforted you by reminding you of the outcome of the battles that you win. He allowed you to have the book of Revelation to understand that you win. You're the champion. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I'm not looking at the winds and I'm not looking at the waves. See, what happened is the disciples got focused or asphyxiated on what they seen and not what they had heard and had been promised in the Word of God. Take a look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in this world." He who is in you. You got the champion. You got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got the Muhammad Ali, the champion inside of you. Amen? You got Jesus. You got the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. So no one can speak any trash about you because you're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your Father in heaven created all of this earth. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. Keep this in mind. That's your enemy's assignment, to set up conditions around you that contradict what's in you. He's trying to reshape your life's conditions so that they contradict the promises of God and what He's made those deals with you. God made a deal with you. He already spoken in you. He already told you you're going to be successful. He already told you that you are the head and not the tail. That you have the victory in Christ. That you win. But He didn't say you might not go through a few things along the way. Oh, Pastor. Take a look at Romans 10:17. He lives inside of you. He dwells inside of you. Understand when you're in a fight, who's on your side. I was thinking about Israel and what they had all that backup. Well, Israel has somebody called America on their side. That makes some people squirmish sometimes. Well, I got Jesus on my side. I got God the Father on my side. I got the Holy Spirit on my side. They're already outnumbered. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not by seeing. Not by doing a whole bunch of things. It says, so faith comes by hearing. Hearing what God's saying to you. Faith comes by hearing, not seeing. Most people think the opposite of faith is doubt. It's not true. The opposite of faith is sight. The opposite of faith is sight. Uh-oh. We don't live by what we see, but the enemy wants you to live by something you saw. Something that contradicts God's word and what God said about you. Because he knows that what's in you is always greater than what's around you. Don't take your battles too personally. It's not about you. It's about what's inside of you. The devil tries to distract you by seeing something. We walk by faith and not by what? Why? Because if you start looking at everything through your rose-colored glasses, you'll miss out on everything else that God has for you. We walk by faith. I'm trusting your word, Jesus. You said we're going to get on the other side. We're getting in the boat with Jesus. And he said we're going to get to the other side. He didn't say that there wouldn't be a storm. He didn't say that the boat might split in half. He didn't say there would be waves. He didn't say that there was going to be some tests and trials. But he said you're still going to get to the other side. Because his word said so. What? Because you're hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Not by seeing. See, people need to see the miracle before I'll believe Jesus. I'll just believe Jesus and then I'll see the miracle happen. Well, I got to see a sign before I'll believe. How many times have you heard people say that? We don't live by what we see, but the enemy wants you to live by something that you already saw, something that contradicts what God said. Because he knows the potential that's in you, and he wants to destroy that potential that's in you. He wants you to get a little fear and a little doubt and a little unbelief in your system. But don't make your battles personal. It's not about you. It's about what's inside of you. God has a great potential inside of you. And God's just using the devil as an instrument. That's all he's doing. You just got to be smart enough to know that. That the devil hates your potential. He hates you. Because he knows what's about to take place when you get a hold of the word. We got to take his word that God gives you and believe it. Hold it true to what God has given you. When he said to those disciples, we're going to the other side, Jesus went to sleep. He spoke it, didn't even think another thing about it. We're going to the other side. The wind may have to blow me across there. There might be some waves along the way. And a boat may get some water in it. Might get a little wet. But if I said we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. Amen? Allow the struggles and the tests in your life to conform you to the image of Jesus. You win when you're obedient to his word. God does not start something and then along the way try to figure it out with no plans and no resources or no relationships or anything set up for you to succeed. He has set you up for greatness. Get that this morning. He set you up to win. You're a king's kid. You're one that he loves and adores. Your potential is eternal, and the seed that's in you is priceless, and it must and will manifest. What he started in you, he will complete. When you make your move, the enemy tries to stop it quickly as possible because he knows the potential. It's easier to pull out an acorn than a 40-year-old oak tree. Once you're rooted in, oh baby, look out. Hell is going to be shaken. It's easier to steal the seed. That's what the devil comes when a word is sown, the seed. He tries to steal it first because as soon as it gets in your ground, and as soon as it takes root, and as soon as you start watering it with the word, and the more that you put, it's going to start exploding, and there's going to be a harvest. He doesn't want that to happen. Because he understands the potential that's inside of you. You think a stick of dynamite's powerful? You're like the atomic bomb. When you go off, it's going to mushroom cloud a whole area that'll never be the same. The devil, he just tries to create scenarios that cast doubt on God's word. You know what God said about you. You're blessed. You're highly favored. You're loved of God. But we got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. I don't look by what I see. Because if I walked by what I see, I would have closed this thing a long time ago. My wife and I would have had an easy life. We'd be on the boat every Sunday, praise God, or we'd be on cruises every other week, praise God. Not that I would fall away from God, but I would have a lot more free time. But that's not what he said. I didn't go by what I saw. I didn't go by when I only had two people in church and I had a mortgage payment on this place. I said, Lord, you got mail. Here's the electric bill mail. Here's the mortgage bill, Lord. Here's the insurance, Lord. It's all come due. Here you go. And by faith, not by what I saw, but by faith, he took care of it all. Didn't lack a thing. But faith comes by hearing, not seeing. And most people think the opposite of faith is doubt. The opposite of faith is what you see. It's sight. Sight throws you off. Understand, a blind person is more keen to things, can hear better, can sense by smell. They have a better perception of things. Even though they're blind, they know not to cross over that crosswalk because they can hear the car. Oh, Pastor. But we see and we still walk in front of the car. We get hit. We didn't see that one coming. This morning we got to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us through the Word that He's planted in our hearts. Don't take the battles that you're going through personally. It's not about you. It's about what's inside of you. God has something great inside of you. Your potential is huge. And we're only using the enemy to help us propel ourselves. The enemy is like the soil that's been dumped upon the seed. But the seed's going to break through that soil and take root. You know, 90% of the work of the seed's done underground. God's been doing some underground work on you before he burst you through for all to see. You got great potential. You need the enemy there to help you propel you through. You need some tests. You're on that boat and you feel like you're getting rocked and the storms are there. Just have faith because somebody is in that boat with you. You're not alone. My wife and I will go through some tests and we'll go through some trials, but at the end of the day, we always say, we got someone in our boat that cares about me. Someone who already said, we are going to get to the other side. Somehow, some way, I don't know how. It looks pretty bleak. Now, I can't see. It seems like it's so far away. Yet, God, it's so close. He just wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. Shout after me this morning. I have great potential. No, say it like you mean. I have great potential. God said so, so I believe it. I will not walk by what I see, but I will walk by faith. What I see is only temporary, but what I cannot see is eternal. I will not get distracted or be moved by what I see. The waves and the wind are just tests and distractions from what God has planned for me. I'm a king's kid with unstoppable potential. I've got unstoppable potential. I am blessed, and I will praise Jesus with all that's within me. In his mighty name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a little praise this week. Did you get anything? It sometimes can be discouraging during the holiday season. It's fun to go shopping, watch people go crazy for a deal. I never go shopping on Black Friday. I never go shopping. But this year I went shopping. I went shopping out there. I didn't go there. I had to go buy anything, or I needed anything, or I had to have the TV set, or I had to have that. I went because I was already, all my needs were met. I just wanted to go see all the crazies. I wanted to see how rude they could be. So I could be a witness. And they're all excited about what they bought and the deals they got, and they're forgetting that it's all about Jesus. So you got the TV for $288. That's great. But you're going to be watching junk on there instead of TBN or some Christian network. I didn't get the $288 deal. The 50-inch TV for $288. I think God's going to give me a 100-inch TV, amen, for $288. People buying $4,000 TV sets for half off, and they're walking out the door with 10 of them, just loading them up, and they're praising, you know, I got a deal, I got Jesus. All the people getting angry because the line's an hour and a half long. I had to wait at Kmart. Hour and a half. And the more I stood in line, the more I watched people curse. And I seen them get more angry and more upset. The lines are so long. Then go home. Leave your 15 carts full of stuff this high here that you're getting out of deal on. Quit your complaining. Thank God you got money to pay for it. I went just because I don't need anything. I just wanted to go see what everybody was trying to find. I still got good parking. We always got good parking, didn't we? We sat in the car for a while and watched 3,000 people run into the store and push each other. And I walked in with my two crutches and my two things and seen if anyone would help me, Knock me right over like a bowling pin. You're going to love this. My wife and I are sitting in the car. This had nothing to do with church, but I just throw it in there. But this tells you how people are. How the season got destroyed. There's two older couple, older ladies. They're probably around 60s, you think? They must have been from the Midwest or something. And they zoom in at this parking spot and handicap. Zoom in there. I didn't see any sticker on their car. I didn't see anything handicap. And they got out of that car and they were running. Running to wait in line. Okay? Just the way God works things out. They're in the aisle right next door to me. It's an hour and a half long to check out. You hear them talking. And I was going to say something to them like, people park in those handicapped spots and run into the building and they're not really supposed to park there. Their car is just getting towed away. I just seen the car wrecker just take their car. I just watch them get in line so I can get a little ahead of them and like that in front of them. But I didn't have the heart to do it. I was so close, though. I was so tempted. The devil was tempting me. Just go ahead and tell them that their car is being towed. That they were on camera and they seen them running in from the handicap spot. I was this close to telling them, but then I said no. So she thought she'd be smart, so she got into another line that was moving real fast. And then it stopped. And then we just kept on going. We just stayed in our line and man, praising God to myself and Pastor Dan was shopping around, and we were just laughing, and we got out of there at 10 o'clock, and 10 or 11, something like that. It was late, way beyond my bedtime, amen. But to see people, we said this one thing, and we both said it at the same time. When we pulled in to Kmart, and the line was down the end of the building, I said, I'm believing someday. Someday. They'll be standing outside that door. Waiting in line. Have to come into church and just have to, well, we can't get in. It's so far. But we're willing to wait. We're willing to wait. If they had the same tenacity, if they had the same vision of the deal I got, it's far better than the TV set you get for $288 or the shorts you get for $3 or the pair of socks that were you buy one, get one free. What I got that I could give them is priceless. I got something that will fix their marriage, fix their kids, fix their finances, give them eternity, but they're only looking at the things that are temporary. The things that are going to get stolen, rust, or fall apart. Something that they can't even hand down from generation to generation. Grandma might make it to heaven, but this next generation might not. But I got this great deal at Kmart. The lines were just, and people will wait hours for a deal, but can't come to church for 30 minutes. It's too long. They'll go to 12 doctors instead of coming to Dr. Jesus to get healed. See, the devil, he's got them running by sight and not by faith. He's got them running over here and running over here and being busy, being distracted from what God's called them to really be. And when all hell breaks loose in their life and they lose their job, and then they call the church and they say, well, can you supply us some toys? Not knocking them. I'm just telling reality. Reality check. Now, if you lost your job, I'm 100% sympathetic. But when you lost your job 15 years ago and you still haven't found one, I'm probably not as sympathetic for you. I just moved all the way from the Midwest over here. I got no job, no plan, no house, no nothing, but I've got my four kids with me and I got no plan. And I had a job back there, but it was cold, so I just thought I would move. You thought you would move. Did you ever ask God where you should move? We heard. We said, Las Vegas. We said, we're on it, Jesus. Where's Nevada at? But I said, Nevada where? Who? But then when we heard, that's where we were to be. Then we met with the pastor of our church and said, God called us to go to move. You know, we're going to pray for that and believe for that. And then every door opened. But you got to use some God sense. And I wasn't even really, saved long. I mean, we were only saved a few years. So I was still jacked up, thinking I'm hearing from God sometimes. He said, buy that motorcycle. Okay, thank you, Lord. Think about that. Think about it. Think how blessed you are. Think why you're going through your tests and your trials. Because you got a great testimony. There's a great potential. Your potential is so great that you have a fallen angel named Satan coming after you. Because you're that important to God. And he knows there's something so great inside of you that he wants to try to snatch it from you. He wants to cause waves and storms and stuff to come against you. Because your potential is so big. Something you might say to someone might just touch their whole family. And they all get saved. You might say something, and you might go travel somewhere, and you might say one word that will touch a whole nation. Like an atomic bomb, just kaboom. The devil understands your potential. This morning, you got to know your potential. It ain't about all the shopping deals. We get blessed anyways. We get favor everywhere we go. We get front row parking and free Starbucks during the holiday. It's crazy. People always wanting to bless us because of him. He always opened up the door so you can share why they want to do that. They don't even know why they want to give you the front row parking spot. They don't know why that they open up the line for you, sir. Oh, thank you. Why? Well, when you get there, you tell them. Thanks. I got the favor of God in my life. I knew that. That's why you opened up this line for me. By the way, you ought to come to church. God's been missing you. I'm bringing that camera out here pretty soon to the malls. I think next week. I need to take some people with me. We're going to interview some people. That way we'll get it on video. See what they think Christmas is really about. Kind of fun perspective to watch it on a Sunday morning, what people think Christmas is about. Got this great deal at Best Buy. And then you just say, hey, the deal I got is better than any deal that you have in all your bags. Matter of fact, the God I serve will cancel all that debt. Matter of fact, I tell you, my Jesus, he wiped out all my debt. Present, future, and my old past. Wiped it all away, made it clean. Lord, bless your people. I ask you everything that they do, Lord, they put their hands to, they're going to prosper and grow. Lord God, I call them blessed coming in and blessed going out. People are going to talk about them, but Lord God, they're talking about them because there's something about them that they need. And that, Lord God, let them bump into people. Let them share during the holiday season about the goodness of Jesus. Let them know it's just not about the birth of a Savior. It's what the Savior done after he was birthed. Lord, there's something inside of us birthing. There's some seed. There's some potential in us, Lord God. Some great potential. Lord, as we go through tests and we go through struggles, as we go through things, Lord God, you're just pushing us through the soil. So all the world will take notice of you that's inside of each and every one of us. Because our potential is eternal, life-changing. Use us this summer, or this winter, this Christmas season, this time of the year, Lord God, when people seem to be down, let us be the one that lifts them up with your word. Let us be the one that speaks faith-filled words. Not by what we see, but by your faith, Lord God, by hearing what you're saying to us, Lord God, that we can impart that into somebody else. Let us be a blessing to all those that we come in contact with. Let's open up a door and greet him with a Merry Christmas. Because it is merry to have Christ inside of us. In Jesus' name I pray for your people to be blessed in all that they do. In your name, Jesus, your Son, we say amen and amen.